And welcome, everybody, to Keeping It True by You in Louisiana. This is, of course, the podcast where we cover the majority of college programs here in the state of Louisiana. And, man, today really brought about some news that, you know, we've seen the fallout here in the last week. And, you know, taking the time to get the story more impactful, more down home, more reduced to what's really relevant was something that I felt important. So we finally will now discuss the major story, which was the House settlement being approved and now put into action. It's the biggest story, I believe, in the majority of our lifetimes watching this when it comes to intercollegiate athletics. And you have 11 programs in the state of Louisiana that you're going to see directly impacted by this new set of rules, this new set of regulations, and this new set of enforcement, as it's a whole new era of college athletics. And of course, we thank you for coming here to Keeping It True by You in Louisiana to get your news on that. So let's go ahead and get started. It's going to be a bit of a longer episode, but I believe the value is there. It's going to be really detailed. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes. Plus, there are current things happening in the legislature that will have important and major impacts when it comes to these schools we talk about today. So, to give you a brief rundown, if you are not already familiar with the House settlement, this basically did allow for players that were playing from 2016 through 2024 who would have had the potential to earn NIL income if the law was in place earlier, thanks to the O'Bannon case, which happened in 2021. Student athletes that participated between 2016 and 2024 are eligible for $2.8 billion that is dispersed between a 10-year period and is to basically alleviate, again, those potential lost revenues if they would have had the ability to fully participate in a NIL system. Now, that covers what happened in the past, and it does matter more to the FBS level programs in Louisiana than it does necessarily to the FCS level programs. If you are continuing to be a part of, you know, the whole intercollegiate thing going forward, you will see some aspect of it in the future, but it will be relatively minor for all of these programs, as this is primarily targeted at the time Power 5 conferences, now Power 4 conferences. Those will be the schools that have to take on quite a bit of the burden when it comes to paying out this money. Now, what has changed that will affect the schools very much so, even if it's not being reported that way, which I think is one of the greatest just unfortunate parts of the news cycle. Everybody wants to talk about Power Four, and this is how the House settlement will affect the Power Four. Well, to be quite frank with you, all of those Power Four conference teams are going to have a very similar effect. They're all going to be paying out most likely the full now $20.5 million for revenue sharing to their student athletes because those programs are that size for a reason. What is being left in such a cloud is, of course, Group of Five, and beyond that, FCS programs, because FCS is Division One. A lot of people are glancing over this, unless you get the occasional comment about, say, a Big East basketball program. There are schools in the state of Louisiana that are now going to, even if it's in the smallest ways, use this opt-in and be able to enhance their rosters in ways that were never possible before. And that is one thing that I think is going to be the main takeaway if you're a school in Louisiana. Now, of course, on the thumbnail, you see that I say Tulane is the leader. We'll talk about why that's the case. It's not necessarily straightforward, but whenever you dig deeper, it becomes very clear why Tulane will dominate in this era. We'll get back to that in just a moment here, but let's talk about a couple more things that is sort of the meat and potatoes of this. You look at another element of this besides the fact that now private NIL deals will have to go through a clearinghouse should the deal be over $600, which again is not that prevalent in the lower ranks of intercollegiate athletics, particularly when you talk about non-revenue generating FCS sports, and particularly non-revenue generating even, you know, just really group of five sports. You know, there are some players that certainly do get some significant dollars, don't get me wrong, but it's not at the level you would imagine. And that's where the discrepancy kind of comes in. And the clearinghouse, which will be called NIL Go, overseen but not managed, which was an important note to make there, overseen but not managed by Deloitte, the accounting firm, basically saying that they're going to set it up, they're going to make sure that it's operating, but the now College Sports Commission, and if I have that wrong, my apologies, I know I'm very close on it, didn't have it in the notes written out in full, so again, my apologies if I'm slightly off on that title, is the one who is now going to basically manage NIL Go and make sure that there is compliance from these schools that are opting into the house settlement, that are opting into the new ways of intercollegiate athletics, and that will, I believe, create a more transparent, probably, is the best way I can put it, landscape. But don't for a second believe that even at the lower levels of football, the lower levels of college athletics, that this changes much. It just frankly doesn't. It will make new rules and regulations. It will divert the way how we've seen things done for a long time. But I believe in essence, there will always be some type of strategic, and a word that comes to mind would be manipulation, but that's not really what I think here. What I think you will see is a strategic deployment of funds in ways that were not previously viable for, or allowed for that matter, for these lower level schools, as far as, you know, athletic department dollars is what we're talking here. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So let's shift the topic a little bit to what we know so far. The first two schools in Louisiana that were clear we are opting in and we want you to know about it was Louisiana Tech, who had a near preemptive statement prepared for this, talking about how they're going to be shifting their donation systems. And then that was shortly followed by UL Lafayette, which is what I will refer to them during this video. Give everybody a break. Those are the two that are currently leading with discussions, particularly UL Lafayette has been talking about how it will affect baseball and softball. And I think that's one of the big things here, because with the house settlement came the ability to fully fund your rosters with scholarships, that is, of course. So previously, baseball was 11.7 scholarships. It's looking like the number's going to come out to somewhere around 34 full scholarships are available to be used. That's very critical here. Available to be used. And the roster limit's going to be even more impactful in football. But for these size schools, it's going to be more about, I believe, the non-football side of it is where they're going to try and get an advantage with this, being able to give additional scholarships. So that's one thing that's been mentioned out there. One that has not yet been put into writing, but is very clear, is that the AAC, American Athletic Conference, which Tulane is a part of at the moment, and if I do breaking news that Tulane has left the conference, you will be the first to hear about it. But as of now, Tulane is still in the AAC, and the AAC has made it very clear that they plan to opt in on a conference-level strategic vision, which basically means that we don't know how many dollars we can realistically get these programs to give, but we know that they will be participating, they will be active, and we will figure that out later once we've already discussed amongst ourselves, and then we will tell you how much we are opting in at. If they choose to at all. It's not like the AAC isn't full of private institutions, plus the military academies. They're not really the most traditional when it comes to state financing type of conference. So it makes it interesting. But Tulane is different. And you see your graphic on, if you're listening, I'll tell you a little bit about it, but if you're watching on any of our video platforms, YouTube, TikTok, thank you all. Don't forget to hit the follow and subscribe wherever you're at. P's the algorithm gods. The budget deficits, which is a major point of this episode, is that, frankly, most of the group of five FCS schools in the state of Louisiana are in a deficit. They operate very much not above water. And there's nothing inherently saying that, you know, they need to always be keeping it at a balanced budget. Although I think from, you know, a Louisiana resident's perspective, it would be very nice. And we see that there are two schools mentioned there that are effectively keeping it at a near balanced budget, with Southeastern having no deficit, good job Lions, and the Grambling State University Tigers, who have a sub $200,000 deficit. Again, very good job Grambling. And what that basically tells you is that every other school in this state did not meet revenue levels that would have paid for their programs independently. Now, for what reason that comes about is very different school by school. Major capital projects going on at ULL, UL Lafayette, of course, with Our Lady of the Lord Stadium. Joe IA Stadium at La Tech is undergoing renovations, with a new athletics facility being built on the premises, and of course a new scoreboard that went up. On the lower levels beneath that, you look at McNeese, which has done a major renovation at their stadium and managed to keep their budget relatively in a nice spot, $1.6 million deficit. And Southern, which this year is undertaking a turf repurposing and some other things with the athletic department. But it is important to note that these are 2023 to 2024 budget numbers. We most likely will not get the 2024 to 2025 budget numbers until sometime in the early spring of 2026, because it takes that long for the state to be able to do their audit and then produce the final numbers. So we're going with the most recent numbers, which is what you see here. And most of these projects were involved in that, so that's pretty relevant. Now, you don't see three schools on this, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm leaving them off or that I have any begrudgment. You don't see Tulane, you don't see Northwestern State, and you don't see UNO. And I leave them off strategically. UNO does not play football. UNO also, let's not forget, voted, "We don't want to play football." So they have an entirely different budget profile than any other school in this list. They are also operating at a deficit. Hate to break it to you. Surprise, surprise. Northwestern State, in the 2023 to 2024 athletic calendar, due to the tragic loss of life that took place during their football season, ended up having their season canceled midway through, and of course they parted ways with their coach at the time, ended up with a different set of revenue numbers than I think is fair to judge their university and their way of running a program on, because of those lost football revenues. So I'm not going to bother with them. What is relevant, though, is Tulane. Tulane is always relevant, and Tulane is becoming more relevant as they realize the potential of what's coming here with this new era of college athletics. Tulane is a monster, a sleeping monster. I've talked about this on previous episodes. I've talked about this amongst friends. Tulane is the potential sleeping giant that, at least when you talk about the purple and gold people in Baton Rouge, they don't want to think about this being realistic due to the recruiting implications that could come about. But Tulane does sit, of course, on a top 40 in the nation, 2.27, say the whole thing, $1 billion endowment. Now, of course, that is not all earmarked for athletics. But let's not forget, the LSU endowment is not even $1 billion. So, infinitely leagues above their competition. And then if you want to talk about their Group of Five competition, roughly La Tech and UL Lafayette can muster somewhere in the plus $100 million target. It's not close. If Tulane wanted to be, they have the funds to compete at an elite level in intercollegiate athletics. And I believe what they've seen since the Cotton Bowl win, since the reintegration of winning football to their campus, and of course the building of Uelmann Stadium, they have something that's worth building. and they just completed roughly $100 million worth of athletic facilities on their campus, and they now mean business. So it's important to note here, Tulane is happy about something like a house settlement. Tulane is excited to see something like a house settlement because it means that they now can exceed their peers due to that endowment, due to those dollars that are available for them if they choose to do so. It's up to them, and they like that flexibility. I don't think it would really hurt Tulane if they wanted to do the full $20.5 million to their student athletes. I don't think that would hurt them. I do think it will hurt them if they try and go play with the Power Four and they try and go and find ways to fully fund some of the athletic ventures which they have on campus. And let's not forget, everybody, Tulane does have less athletic teams than the average school in this state. The average school in the state here. I mean, you have a total of 7 men's varsity sports. That is significantly less than, I would say, their closest peer, which is LSU. On the women's side, they field 11 varsity sports. It's not the same. It's not close to being the same. They're strategic with their money, and they know that if they keep their revenue generators up, not to mention basketball's been on the rise at Tulane as well, which is the other revenue generating sport. For those of you who may not be aware, generally speaking, these programs that are most likely to turn over a profit are football and men's basketball, in that order. Even a school, and I'm, you know, not trying to make it about them, but even a school like LSU doesn't turn profit on baseball anymore because it became too expensive to operate. Nothing wrong with that. It's just facts of the matter. So with that, you look at Tulane, you look at what you see from them, and I see the potential to where if they want to put $15 million, $16 million into football and say, I don't want the next Arch Manning to leave New Orleans. I don't want the next Tajay Spears to not find his way onto this campus. I don't want those opportunities to pass us by anymore. We should be an elite recruiting powerhouse in the state of Louisiana. And that would be a major disruption for not only potential feeders to the Power Four, but to other group of five schools. ULM, La Tech, and UL Lafayette are all benefited by the fact that they have had a on-the-field recruiting advantage over Tulane for so long because the program struggled. Because for a while they didn't have a home stadium and they couldn't fill the dome out. They knew that they had a better environment. They knew that they had, at the time, better facilities. None of that's real anymore. Tulane has a elite football stadium for their size. They have an elite set of brand new facilities. And they have a major war chest that is building. So don't forget about Tulane. It's not going to make the whole episode about Tulane. It's not what it's here for. But it is relevant that we will see if they release formal information on their opt-in. You did see something, as they say, you know, preparing for NIL that just came out on the 11th. So they're saying that they know. But if you see their full opt-in and they talk about it in more detail, don't be surprised if Tulane says, we want to go and be elite. We want to go and challenge ourselves. Does that mean for their school in particular, it's done in the AAC? And they maybe up their basketball perspective a little bit and, you know, get to use the fact that they're in a conference with Wichita State and elevate that potential. I don't know. Could be what they choose to do. Memphis also in that conference, usually a pretty easy team for the NCAA tournament. So you have two pretty strong offerings on a historical perspective. Maybe they want to be three in that. And if they can be top three in football like they have been as well, well, then they're in the contention for the college football playoff every year. and they're making an NCAA tournament appearance every year. I think that's a position they can live with. And it doesn't mean that they have to go to the Power Four or the Pac-12, if you want to consider them 4.5, to do it. I think they know where they're at, and I think they're very confident where they're at. Now, that's the reason why I think that they have the lead. But here's where the other schools are going to come in. We're going to take a quick moment to, again, remind you that the follow-up to this, yes, we're following up with the Purple and Gold side, is going to come out on the same day as this episode. So if you're interested about LSU, how they're going to handle it, obviously this was designed more with them in mind and a Power 4 program, go look at that perspective. Card will be in the description or in the video here on YouTube. And of course, we'll have the link in the description everywhere else if you want to go check out that episode. So turning back to look at the other aspects of this, the ones that I think are very relevant and going to make a huge impact. It's a bill in the state of Louisiana, currently working its way through the House, most likely going to end up on the governor's desk. I try not to take a strong political perspective here when I say this. I try to look at it from the rationale, the mission statement, and the purpose behind this particular YouTube channel, which is to provide a journalistic styling viewpoint of current events with some very truth ladled aspects into it. Of course, on every overlay of every video that we make, we include the latest odds. We talk about it. We know what they are. We don't shy from them. We don't leave them out. And it's a crucial part to the true Bayou sports media experience. And one of that, of course, is revolved around the world of sports betting and sports wagering, sports gaming, however you want to call it. So House Bill 639 is going to effectively raise the rate that is paid on Louisiana sports gaming revenue from 15% to 21.5%. Now, obviously, this has been fought very heavily by the companies that produce the products, DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars. All of you can sponsor me, by the way, whenever you're ready. All of those entities have an alliance and they run ads. You may have seen them trying to get this to not pass. Now, personally, this tends to mean that things along the lines of boost, promos, so forth and so on, are weakened or removed. So it is not a net experience gain for the consumer. But the state of Louisiana is choosing to use this tax revenue boost in a way that is going to be unique and is going to effectively put them indirectly in the NIL game. And it's very interesting, and I think it deserves a deeper look here. So I'm going to read a little bit and paraphrase a little bit from an article. I will have it linked in the description. It's from the Louisiana Illuminator. And, of course, the bill was put out there by Neil Reiser. For those of you who may be interested, it passed the Senate 35-3. It passed the House 74-15. Again, the governor expected to sign it into law. So pretty much this is what it's going to be. It is expected that 6.5% raise in taxes on the revenue will generate somewhere in the ballpark of $20 million. Now, that money is going to go to the 10 intercollegiate athletic programs that are public in the state of Louisiana. So Tulane will not get the money. Centenary will not get the money. Louisiana College will not get the money because that's all private institutions, which is fair. And it's going to be roughly an $11.7 revenue line for each of these public institutions. So you take a look at that and you see I've had the information here on the video for those of you who are watching, talking about the budget deficits. If you look at where the majority of the schools are in the state of Louisiana, their budget deficit is largely at least alleviated, if not completely eliminated, by $1.7 million. And if you're talking about this on an annual basis, that really puts these programs with intense and intentional fundraising efforts, despite whatever may have come from the House settlement. Obviously, I think the FCS programs, I would not expect much to be going as far as direct revenue sharing. But what I do believe is that a school like Southeastern that is already operating on no deficit, they suddenly just had $1.7 million show up on their doorstep. They currently, as every other school was, were funding 11.7 baseball scholarships. There is no reason why it would be entirely inconceivable that Southeastern may choose to now fully fund 15 to 20 baseball scholarships. A school that has made the NCAA tournament, competes at a high level, not to mention their softball program almost came and snuck up on LSU and won a Baton Rouge regional. They ended up losing the regional, but they did beat LSU twice and gained national exposure for it. There's no reason why that couldn't change the way how a program is operated. Not to mention the fact that you look at the value of a scholarship, it is a major part in the choice that comes for student athletes at this level. Look, if you're in the FCS, there's a reason that you have to accept those terms of being in the FCS. It's generally a situation where, hey, coach one said I can have 0.3 of a scholarship, coach two said I can have 0.4, and coach three said I'm going to get 0.3, but I'm also going to get some NIL money because they have a very nice booster. That's the type of situation to where now Southeastern can say, how about we offer you a 0.7 scholarship, plus we'll direct revenue share with you $25,000. Because they'd be able to do that. They would be able to do that. To say for your top 10 baseball players, you're all going to get $25,000 and you're going to get a full scholarship. Everyone else can split the now 10 scholarships that we had, which basically was what the whole team was splitting at the time. That's major. That's incredibly impactful. I use Southeastern, of course, as an example. Southern and Grambling are able to generate massive appeal, being an HBCU, have nationally televised games, and already have a media exposure that is enhanced due to some of those factors. You take a look at the fact that ESPN, a broadcast partner of the SWAC, produces specialized HBCU content, not to mention the Celebration Bowl. What's to say that they could not utilize some of these revenue sharing dollars and enhance their national media presence? We saw what happened when Jackson State had additional dollars on hand because of Deion Sanders and the appeal that he brought. If you can replicate even a fraction of that at Southern or Grambling, there's no reason why your program shouldn't explode. And if you're someone like ULM, La Tech, particularly those two programs that have sometimes struggled to generate revenue. You take a look at what Conference USA has done to their football scheduling to get more TV money. It means that the gate is being hurt whenever La Tech has to go play on a Wednesday night randomly in October, or whenever ULM has, you know, dealt with another 3-9 year, no offense, you know what you do to yourselves, another 3-9 year, and the stadium is not being filled up except for key in-state matchups. To be able to offset some of those struggles that come with being an FBS group of five program, that is a major differentiator. To say, hey, we don't have to maybe sweat being a little bit low, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep women's track and field. That $1.7 million in scholarships may be able to keep your Olympic sports covered in some degree. And if you look at any of these revenue statements, it won't keep it fully covered. But, you know, if that makes it a little bit easier to send an athlete to the track national championships in Eugene, Oregon, if that makes it a little bit easier to help a golfer, team, to help the bowling team, for instance, at Louisiana Tech. If you're able to take $50,000 that can purchase equipment for an entire team that can be used over the course of multiple years of their scholarship, amazing efforts, amazing opportunities that will come from that. And then you look at the big dog. We will call them for one time in this episode. The University of Louisiana believes that they should be able to compete to be the premier, not just in this state, but the premier group of five program in the nation. Now, of course, we talked about Tulane and how they have a natural hand up, but they say, okay, $1.7 million. I just built a major wing on my stadium to increase revenue through clubs, through other premium ticket experiences. I have an elite arena in the Cajun Dome. I have some major backers, major NFL talent that has come through my building. I kind of feel like I'm going to pay somebody that is transferring from a Power 4 school. I'm going to go and pay them directly $100,000 out of that 1.7. And I'm going to do it five times. $500,000 of that 1.7 is going to go directly to elite talent. Directly to elite talent. No questions. Because they believe that they should be competing for the college football national championship. And to be fair, they have a right to do so. If you look at the current odds, they have significantly better odds than the other two FBS programs. And while Tulane is significantly ahead of them, it's not unexpected, as they are a top 10 candidate for that group of five playoff spot. And they know that. They know the Sun Belt has some weight, some pull. They've been to College World Series before. They've been in elite basketball programs with players like Elfrid Payton. They know what they're doing. And they know what $1.7 million could impact. So it does come up at an interesting political argument to say, hey, maybe I like this. Hey, maybe I don't like this. But at the end of the day, it's going to make a major impact, particularly for these 10 athletic programs in the state of Louisiana, if you include LSU. 9, if we're just talking about these here. I think that's honestly something that you have to take a look at and say, you know, it's interesting, but it is going to be effective, no doubt. No doubt. A lot can be said about the political impact of it. How does it affect the sports better? Personally, I think it's bad for sports better. But I do think you will see immediate impact the day that first check gets delivered to these schools, and they will be able to potentially exceed as programs. At the same time, I think that you may want to roll back previously made changes to sports betting where player props were removed. That could generate more revenue. I think that would then help your intercollegiate athletic programs. If you're that focused on using those dollars in that way, allow more opportunities to put more wagers in on the intercollegiate athletic programs and therefore generate more revenue for the schools, if that's how you want to do it. Again, that's for the legislature to decide. That's for the gaming commission to decide. We'll see what happens. It's still available in other states. Louisiana got rid of it after the Kayshawn Boutte scandal. We'll see what they do. But it's an important note. And of course, all of you have been so important. If you've stuck around this long in the episode, don't forget, I do appreciate you if you're listening on the podcast. If you chose to listen to us on TikTok, YouTube, thank you so much. And anywhere else you're getting this content, thank you for being a part of the True Bayou Sports Media program, of the, you know, family that we build here, the community, and getting an interesting and innovative take on Louisiana sports in a way that I feel as though has been missing from our diet. And to fill that little spot that was left empty, I'm very glad to do it. Very glad you all were here today. Thanks for watching. Don't forget, like, subscribe. Go watch the other version of this for LSU, of course. They're going to have a much different take, as this was designed to enhance, curtail, and re-innovate the way how major collegiate athletics do. By the way, LSU has a $200 million revenue every year. Let's see how $20.5 million affects them. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll be back with more information as we get closer to football season here on Keeping It True by You in Louisiana, and I'll see you on the next one. Thanks, everybody.
This has been a True by You Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True by You Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.